Now I invite your attention to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. We're continuing our study on liberty versus legalism. And we're in the point of our study now where we're not spending a lot of time on the legalism aspect of this message series. We've covered that prior. And so the focus now at this point as we close out these sermons, this will be this Sunday and next Sunday, the focus will be on the liberties that we have as children of God. And so today we're looking at the liberty of fellowship of believers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, the Word of God, would you stand with me as we read? Let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to look into your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word that we may receive instruction and knowledge of you. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless in this service, that you would convict of sin, that you would comfort the downtrodden, that, Lord, you would encourage the discouraged, that, Lord, your will be done in this service. I pray that we'll respond to your leading and that you will be glorified by everything, Lord, that takes place here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. When we talk about fellowship, I want to establish, first of all, what we're talking about. When we speak of fellowship, we're not talking about the eating meetings that we have after services oftentimes, even though those are good. Amen? They sure are. But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about fellowship. When we mention the term fellowship, we're talking about sharing or sharing something in common. You and I are very different, okay, as individuals. Y'all are different from these folks here. These folks are different from these folks. But we all have one common person that unites us. That person is, of course, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And because of that, we have fellowship with one another. We share a common goal with one another. That common goal in Jesus Christ is, of course, what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, as we look at this Great Commission, this common goal that we have because of Jesus Christ, we are united together to carry out this common goal, but there has to, for us to carry out this common goal, to be missionaries here locally as well as throughout the state, the country, and even to the world, for us to do that, we have to share. We have to have fellowship. And the first thing we have to share is our treasures. And we're going to talk about, just for a moment, our partnership with one another. And we're going to begin by talking about sharing spiritual treasures. And I want to begin today in explaining or sharing with you the goal or the desire of every Bible teacher. And as a Bible teacher, I'm going to speak first person here, okay? It is a great joy in my life. One of the greatest joys in my life is to get into the Word of God and learn something I didn't know. Does that just excite you? You know, I call it the aha moment when you're reading, and it may be that scripture that you've read 1,000 times, And you come across it and God shows you something that you never saw before and you're like, how did I miss that? Wow, that's awesome. I love those times. And another joy that I have as a Bible teacher is to be able to share those things, those treasures that I discover while I'm in study of the Word of God with you each week. It is my goal every week when we gather to bless you with a knowledge of God that you did not have before. Or maybe to remind you something about God that you had forgotten. That is, and when I can spend that time in study and bring it to you and see your face, see your eyes light up as you realize something that you didn't know before. I want to tell you, for a pastor, for a Bible teacher, that's just top shelf. It's awesome, and it's not just me, your Bible study teacher every Sunday morning. They have the same feelings, okay? Brother Michael, the church staff, we all have the same feelings and the same desire. But I also want you to understand that these treasures that are shared each week, whether it be by me or by your Bible study teacher or by some of our church staff, they don't just happen. That every week requires hours and hours of study and hours of prayer and preparation and time where the office door is closed and I get into the Word of God and I read and I study and I pray, God, show me, teach me from your Word. And for me to have that time, for others of our church staff to have that time, what has to happen is there has to be a sharing of secular treasures. Paul says, if you have people who are pouring their lives into teaching the gospel, the treasures of the Scripture, then you be sure to share the good things that God has placed in your life. Why? Because it enables them. Okay? I appreciate so very much what this church, what you as a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church do for me on a weekly basis. You see, I shared with you my joy. The joy of study, the joy of learning, the joy of preaching. And I've shared with you the time that it requires in preparing these messages. But do you know why I have that time? I have that time because members of Victory Missionary Baptist Church are willing to share their treasures with me each week so that I can share spiritual treasures with you each week. I'm talking about getting paid. Let me tell you, I want you to know today that I do not take that lightly. Okay? It is a blessing of God to receive a paycheck from this church each week. It is a blessing that God has enabled me not to have to work outside the church so that I can sit down and spend the hours of my days in study and prayer each week. I can do that because people of Victory Missionary Baptist Church are sharing with me their secular treasures on a continual basis. Brother Michael can minister and teach because people are sharing through their offerings and their givings. You see, what happens is, yes, we share our souls with you each week, sharing those scriptural treasures that we discover in the Word of God, but you enable us to have that joy in our life. Thank you so very much. Y'all thought I was going to preach about giving, didn't you? Well, I kind of am. But I want you to know how very much I appreciate you as your pastor, that each week I'm able to pay my bills. I don't worry about a house payment. I don't worry about my electric bill because I get a paycheck from you. And I get a paycheck from you because you give. You share your secular treasures. Thank you so much. Thank you so much that every year, toward the October, November time frame, you have a pastor appreciation time. You don't know what that means each time. The cards, the gift cards, the letters, the handshakes, and just, Brother Doug, we appreciate you. It is so encouraging. And what it does, and I know you do it for Brother Michael and others in the church staff, and that's what. But what it does, it's like telling us, sick 'em. Go get him. We appreciate what you're doing. And it makes us more determined than ever. And I want to say thank you. I have to say thank you for your words of appreciation each week. How that each week, you know, someone will say, Brother Doug, I needed that message, or I appreciate that message, or Brother Doug, I didn't know that. Thank you for that encouragement. Because what's happening is we're sharing scriptural treasures and you're sharing your secular treasures so that we can have fellowship and carry out the Great Commission. Because of what you do, the gospel message of Jesus Christ goes out from this place every week. Amen. And I just want to say bless you and praise God for you. You see, that's what our fellowship is about. Our togetherness, we're banding together. For the honor and the glory of God. Banding together, sowing our seed. Paul, in this writing, he made this statement, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about stewardship. You see, we often use this passage to say, you know, if you live like the devil and you sow your wild oats, you better expect a harvest to come. And it's true, okay? If you sow the wild oats, you can expect the wild harvest, all right? There's a law of sowing and reaping. But the idea behind this, the context that this is given in, it is a stewardship context. He's saying, whatever you sow, there's going to be a harvest that you will reap. God will hold you accountable for how you spend the resources that He places within your care. That's the idea behind that text. You do realize, of course, that everything you own belongs to God, right? Now, we're not talking about tithing. We're talking about stewardship. You say, Brother Doug, I tithe. Wonderful. Wonderful. Continue to do so. But never forget that everything you own comes from God. And it's not just I've paid my dues to God when I give my 10%. If God required 90%, then we should have the desire to give that 90%. And sow into the kingdom of God. He's talking about investing. You understand investing, right? We like good investments where we invest our money and it comes back multiplied. And much more than it was when we invested it. That's the concept here. He says in verse 8, he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. You see, there's a way that we can spend all our resources, time, money, efforts, on things that don't matter. And we're real good at that. I mean, and the challenge here is don't waste your wealth. Do not waste your wealth. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven or treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break through and steal. Don't make bad investments, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. There's a way that you can just absolutely waste all that God has given you. And as a steward, you're expected to be a wise steward. And a wise steward, what he's saying, the idea here is that a wise steward will take the resources given by his master and invest it in the kingdom of God with eternal results. Okay? Now, mind you, we're talking money, we're talking time, we're talking effort, we're talking whatever it is that God blesses you with. You being a faithful steward and investing it in the kingdom of heaven. Why is that so important, Brother Doug? Because one of these days, this life is going to be over. And what are you going to have when this life is through? You know, a big thing in today's society is retirement. People want, you know, they save for retirement. And that's fine. That's good. There's wisdom in that. Okay? But do you realize there is a retirement program with God? And it's the best of all. You may have, you know, a nice little nest egg so that when you reach that certain age, you can retire and enjoy the fruits of your labor. Wonderful. But when you die, what will you have? The picture that the apostle is painting here is making heavenly investments so that when you get to heaven, you receive your IRA paid in full. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting lives. You see, investments made in spiritual kingdom of God will last forever. Isn't it cool? Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal." You know what I've noticed about every once in a while? People that we put our money in investments and we invest in mutual funds and stocks and bonds. And every once in a while, that old stock market, it'll come tumbling down. People will cry. "Oh, I lost so many $1,000s in this last, you know," and we'll say, "and I my RA is half of what it was." And I've heard that multiple times the last time the market went down. You know what's really great about heavenly investments? They never go down. They never go down. What you put into the kingdom of God will last. Not just a lifetime, will last an eternity. And I want to remind you, do you know, have you noticed the blessings of God among Victory Missionary Baptist Church? I mean, I don't know how many weeks in a row I've been in the baptistry, but I kind of like that. Amen. People are being saved. People are responding to the gospel. And do you know why? Because the gospel is being preached. The truth of God's word is being preached in Bible study classes and from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. And do you know why? Because people are making heavenly investments and supporting the work of God. Make no mistake, okay? The growth of Victory Missionary Baptist Church is not because of a preacher. It's not because of a staff member. It's because God is blessing. And one of the reasons God is blessing is because His faithful stewards are investing in kingdom work. I still believe with all of my heart that the Word of God works. Because of your support, Awana takes place here every Wednesday night. And you know something that excites me as a pastor? When I get a text or I get something on Facebook that says, "My kid was saved in Awana last night." And you know, you may not think that much about it, but your offerings go to support that ministry. That means you are directly involved in that ministry. You're making heavenly investments. The teens class growing, doing great. The college ministry, awesome. You know what? I love our college students. I love you guys. You know that, right? But you know, it encourages me so very much to see y'all active in the church and fulfilling different roles within the church and stepping up and taking part and investing your time. Because I know you have classes, you have tests, you have a lot of things that you're doing, but you still make the time for God. Praise God for you. Love our college students. You see, because people are investing, not just college students, adults, Bible study teachers, ministry that goes on here, week in and week out, because people are investing in the kingdom, there is a harvest. And I don't know about you, but I love harvest. I love to see people come to know God. But you know what? It doesn't just stop here. It doesn't just stop at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. You see, because of your heavenly investments, we support missions all over the world. We support missions within this state. We support missions because of you. Do you realize there have been souls saved in Nicaragua? You say, well, Brother Baltadano did that. No, he didn't. Brother Baltadano was in Nicaragua because you've been supporting him for a long time. Okay? You have a stake in that. You, because you have been supporting our missions ministry. Danny Fudge is in Omaha, Nebraska, winning lost souls. Talked to him last week, doing great. Because you are investing in heavenly ministries. We're planting a church in Columbia, Missouri. Because you are investing in heavenly, eternal things. A new church has been established in Belize. And you know, and I really don't think we stop and realize how profound our heavenly investments are. I give you an opportunity. Okay, you knew I was going to have to get to an opportunity somewhere for you to give, right? We need to finish out balcony chairs. You know what? As we collect, and some of you have already given, and some of you are thinking about giving, and it's wonderful. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to think about this. You've seen in the bulletin that a balcony chair costs $200. And if you can't afford $200, then that's all right. God bless you. You pray that God will help you to afford that and give it when you can. All right? But here's my challenge on that. Don't just buy a chair. Don't just buy a chair. Make a heavenly investment. All right? Chairs cost $200. You set out to buy a chair. Okay, I'm going to buy a chair. Don't just say, I'm going to buy a chair. Say, I'm going to make a heavenly investment. You say, Brother Doug, what's a chair got to do with a heavenly investment? Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to finish out the chairs in the balcony. And guess what's going to happen to those chairs? People are going to sit in them. And when people sit in them, guess what's going to happen? They're going to hear the gospel preached. And when they hear the gospel preached, guess what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit of God is going to get a hold of them. And they're going to respond to the message of the gospel. And guess what? Brother Doug's going to have to get in the baptistry again. Glory to God. Yeah? You see, the thing today about this message is not trying to get you to give. You know? The thing today about this message is to help you realize what your giving is. It's not just shelling out a dollar or two. It's making a heavenly investment in the kingdom of God that will last forever. And you know, that's just beautiful. And guess what? God is keeping account. God, there is an accounting book that God is keeping up with all the investments that you're making. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but grab this, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. See, Paul wanted them to understand it wasn't just about giving. It wasn't just about sending a gift. It was about making an investment. And when you invest, you can well take it to the bank that you will reap a harvest, an abundant harvest, on that which you invest in the kingdom of God. Can you imagine one day as you enter into heaven, some stranger walks up to you and says, thank you. And you say, what? He says, thank you. Because you supported Brother Dillahunty in Belize when he was there. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's because of you that I'm saved. I think when that happens, there are a lot of people who are going to say, really? Really? Yeah, really. You see, it's credited to your account because of you. People are going to come up and say thank you. Say, for what? Well, you gave faithfully every week to the ministries of this church, and Brother Michael counseled with me and my wife and saved our marriage. And Brother Michael was able to give us sound biblical advice because you
help to pay his salary each week. And you're going to go, wow, really? Yeah, really. You see, I want you to grab the idea today that it's not just about giving. It's about investing. And God is keeping account. He knows every little thing that you have done, down to the last penny, down to the last second of time that you have donated to His eternal kingdom. And beloved, God will make it worth your while. Okay? And we go on. In our fellowship, we've got to remain steady throughout our season. Paul said, do not grow weary in well-doing. And what he's talking about there is, of course, becoming discouraged and coming to the point where because of discouragement, you lose heart and you back off of those commitments that you make. Now, that's easy to do. I'll tell you what, week in, week out, sometimes it gets hard because sometimes you feel like you're the only one giving or you're the only one ministering, you're the only one participating, and you're the only one that cares, but you're not. God cares. God cares. Sometimes in your giving, and this is really real, okay? Sometimes when you're in your giving, what happens is you're giving and something happens during the week and the thing that comes to mind is, boy, if I hadn't given that offering to that missionary, if I hadn't given that offering to the church, I could have used that money this week. Listen, okay? Listen closely. Because I say this to your good. That's a lie from Satan. Okay? That is a lie from Satan. When it comes to our mind, you know, if I trim down my offerings, I could afford another car payment. If I would trim back, I could afford to add on to my house. If I could... Don't listen to the lies of Satan. Here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen. I'll tell you. Okay? What's going to happen is you're going to begin to withhold those heavenly investments from God. And you're going to begin to put them in other places. Let's call them secular places or earthly investments. And what's going to happen? You're going to wake up one day and you're going to realize, hey, what happened to that money I was supposed to be saving by withholding from God? It's just gone. And you're going to say, but I was supposed to be able to make that new car payment. I was supposed to be able to buy all these things. It does not work. You see, you have to move on God's accounting plan. All right? And what happens is this. If you go back to the parable of the talents, the master that Jesus shared, and how the master gave one of his servants 5 talents, said, go invest it until I return. He gave another servant 2 talents, said, go invest it till I return. He gave another 1 talent and said, go invest it till I return. When the master returned, you remember what happened. The one that had 5 talents had invested it and made 5 more talents. The master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that had 2 talents had invested it and made 2 more talents. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that the master had given 1 talent. You remember that guy, don't you? That guy said, oh, master, I was scared. I was afraid. I buried your talent. I knew you was a hard man. And he went on and he said, but master, I buried it. Here is your 1 talent. And you remember what the master did? The master said, you wicked servant. Take his talent and give it to he who has 5 talents. If you're not faithful in stewardship, God oftentimes takes from you and gives to those who will be faithful. Don't you think about that just a little bit? Now, we're talking about stewardship. We're not just talking about money. We're talking about time. We're talking about everything. We're talking about if you're not going to use the blessings of God to increase the kingdom of God, why should God bless you? Makes sense, right? Makes sense. Oh, absolutely. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not become discouraged. Do not lose heart. Do not believe the lies of Satan and back off and say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. because you're the one that loses. Okay? In due season, he said, in due season we shall reap. We shall reap. This is a promise. It literally says, for at the appointed time, one's own he will reap. Literally, God's saying, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. When the time is right, you will receive a blessing for what you've invested. All right? But you're on God's timetable, not your own. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. I want you to understand this in closing. Okay? Understand there are seasons in your heavenly or eternal investments. There's the season of sowing, there's the season of growing, and there's the season of reaping. Now, oftentimes what we do is we sow. And we wait till next week and think, okay, Lord, I gave you last Sunday, I should have a harvest now. It doesn't work like that. Okay? There's a sowing season, a growing season, and a reaping, a harvest season. You may sow heavenly investments today that it takes time to grow and to harvest. But that doesn't mean you quit sowing. Everything that is sown will produce a harvest. Okay? Each season is necessary. Alright? You know, the season of sowing, if it's never planted, it will never come up. The season of growing teaches us patience and endurance. The season of harvest or reaping, oh my goodness, that's where the joy comes. And let me tell you this, I know there are so many of these get rich, you know, send us money and you're going to get rich. God wants you to be rich. God does, if God wanted you to be rich, you'd be rich, okay? Now, God will provide your needs, but I want you to know the joy, the real joy of riches. The real joy of whether you're talking about money, time, talent, effort, whatever you're talking about, the real joy is when you invest in the kingdom of God and you see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because of your investments. That's where real joy is. Okay? In due season, it will be worth it. Okay? Stay in there. Stick with it. Then finally we close with this statement. As we have opportunity, let us do good. It's an interesting statement. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, that word opportunity is the word that Paul had just used before where he said, in due season we shall reap. That word opportunity means literally due season. And we could translate this as to say, as we have due season, let us do good. Here's what I want you to get in closing. We are in our season. This is the season to sow. Okay? We sow knowing there is a harvest coming. My friends, don't waste the time that God has given us. The opportunity that God has given us. Don't waste it. You know, in the spring, I grew up on the farm, and in the spring, it was planting time. And being the kid that I was, I often didn't want to get up in the morning. My dad would come in, and my dad was a farmer. And he was a farmer that if the sun was up, he was too, kind of guy. And he would come in, and he would wake me up. He'd say, get up, boy. We got to go to work. And I'd groan a little bit. And he'd tell me, don't make me come back in here, son. Get out of that bed. And you know what? I never did make him come back in there because I knew my daddy meant business. This is our season. This is our opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. You can invest with your money, you can invest with your time, you can invest with your talents, but by all means, you make sure you're making heavenly investments in this due season that God has given you. Because one of these days, there's going to be a harvest. One of these days, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the things we've done in the flesh, both good and bad. My friends, take advantage of the season that God has given you so that when that day comes, it'll be a day of joy and rejoicing and reward. Our Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for the season that You've given us. For the opportunity, Lord, that You've given us to sow the seeds of our faith. Thank You for the opportunities of giving. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunities of serving. Thank You, Lord, for this season. Help us not to be wasteful. But Lord, that we will be united together, making eternal investments for Your honor and for Your glory. And we'll ever look forward to the harvest. We pray, Lord, that as we come to this point of the service, it's time to respond. I pray for those who are lost. I pray for those who are saved. Those who are under conviction right now, I just pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.